This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So we're going to talk about something that you might have heard of, or maybe not. Cat cafes, one in particular that went on to become a nonprofit. And we're going to talk all about cat cafes. And if you've never been to one, this might answer your questions. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around. We'll be right back. Michelle Fern here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, T-E-N.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Gwendolyn Mathers. She is the executive director of Tailtown Cats. Welcome, Gwendolyn.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. So what exactly is Tailtown Cats? I know it's a cat cafe, and not all of us are fortunate enough to have one in our neighborhood or nearby. So some people have heard of them. Some people have not a clue what we're talking about.
Sure. So cat cafes were started in Taiwan and then Japan, and they started as just a place of business. It could be a restaurant, could be a bar, where cats lived and people could come and interact with them because of their small living situations. They couldn't always have animals at home, so they could go and interact with cats and have a nice time. But the cats weren't up for adoption. They just lived there permanently. They got popular and spread to the US. And of course, we're always trying to think of ways with pet overpopulation to try and get animals into homes. So they became a way for rescues to let people in and interact with cats more, or act as, like we are, kind of a large scale foster. Our Tailtown was started as a private business. Our founder, Carol, started it as a project with her daughter. They were really inspired by these cat cafes. They were adopters through our partner, Kitten Rescue of Los Angeles. They had fostered and adopted from them. And they thought, well, we could keep getting more kitties. We could have all the kitties and show people, like, let them come in, interact with the cats. It's a big space. It's a 2,000 square foot space. You can come in, you can play, you can cuddle. There's over 200 cat cafes now in the United States, almost in every state, pretty much in every metropolitan area, predominantly rescue based. I came in as a volunteer through Kitten Rescue, working with Carol to do a little bit of curating with the kitties, just to make sure that we kept a nice dynamic between all the cats. We went from, when Carol was running it, 16 cats in the lounge to now 40 cats in the lounge. So we have a really nice dynamic. The cats are all super friendly, but I've helped come into the organization and turn it into, as you said, a nonprofit 501c3 charity now.
Okay, your location is 2,000 square feet, but the cafe is smaller.
Right. We do have a lobby space where you come in and check in, but that takes up a very small footprint. So our lounge space is most of the building.
Okay. And what's so important about changing to a 501c3, a nonprofit?
So it's really important for us because it opens up avenues for volunteer outreach, for grants, obviously, sponsorships with corporations, companies, and programs that can help invest back into the space, giving back into the cats and keeping us running. When, you know, adoptions through kitten season, they wane, and we want to be able to keep afloat when things are up and down and people aren't just coming in to adopt. But we see that adoptions aren't a huge portion of our attendance, that we have this new angle on things. Of course, our mission is to break cats out of shelter kennels, get them off the street into loving homes, but Kitten Rescue helps us get them adoption ready and vetted, but people get to come in and they get to see the cats, interact with the cats. But we're also doing a little bit of socialization too, because we're also one of the only cat cafes that allows you to actually hold and pick up our cats. So it's no longer like kind of a spectator sport of going to a cat cafe and just sitting and watching the cats play. Like, you get to actually physically interact with the kitties. And that is so important for them. And the cats are now so people orientated. They like swarm when you come in and you sit down, and people are always so amazed. And they always leave like, I've been to so many cat cafes and these are the friendliest cats I've ever seen. What do you do to these cats? What's going on? We're like, just because cats give you back what you put in, then they give that back to you. That this engagement keeps them like so connected to humans. So instead of just focusing on, of course, adoptions are the goal, goodbye is the goal, getting them into homes, but making sure the adopters are educated and informed and set up for a really, you know, healthy life with the kitties. But since that portion of attendance is not always going to be consistent depending on the time of year, we wanted to expand to other ways to keep people coming in and meeting and interacting with our cats.
We're going to get to that because you have a lot of fun events and different things, but you talked about socialization.
Yeah.
That is so important because, I mean, from experience and people listen to Catitude, I've heard about my cat crew, so they're all rescues. Molly was actually born right outside my house. She was from a feral kitten mama. And I thought I picked her up a lot. We tried to pick her up as much as possible. She had a brother and a sister, so it was a litter of three. But apparently not enough, because she does not like to be held. She's social, but she does not like to be held. And mm-hmm. I just feel like we're missing out and she's missing out. So the socialization is so good. And it's also probably a benefit, because if you bring a socialized cat into your home, chances are they're going to get along with existing cats.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but probably good chance.
Definitely. Most of the people who come in to adopt a second or sometimes third cat, you know, it makes the transition so much easier because these cats are, they speak the language. You know, it's not putting two cats that have never spoken cat to each other.
Right.
We have cats that, and, you know, have developed on their own or were adopted very young and developed a little bit of single kitten syndrome. That's when they don't learn good kitty social cues and they end up being a little too energetic or redirecting their energy in kind of negative ways, going after hands and ankles, or, you know, being a little too rough with other cats. Our kitties kind of go in, you know, experiencing a whole spectrum of catitude and personalities and people. And so, like you said, there's always going to be an outlier, like your baby, of kitties who maybe don't like to be picked up, because, you know, and we talk to guests when they come in, we go through a couple little house rules, that it is all about permission and boundaries. If a cat doesn't want to be picked up, they might not be in a great mood that day, or maybe they just got into a little play tussle, or they're overstimulated from playing too much that day, that we're like, you know, we show them the cues. And if a kitty doesn't want to be held, let them come to you. But a lot of cats don't ask permission of the people. And we even have some kitties in our lounge who are shoulder surfers, is what we call it.
Oh, wow.
Someone will walk in and a cat will just jump on their back without even asking.
Oh,
so
wow.
Everybody gets a little bit of a warning
about,
if you're looking, for a certain type of interaction, we'll try to direct you to the kitty that would best suit your personality and your needs, for sure. But yeah, we always want to be respectful of what the cat is wanting in that moment. But for the most part, everyone is just so friendly and ready to just get their fix of attention.
So it seems like the cats get educated, you know, as far as how to interact with people and socialize and interact with other cats, interact with people and all of that. How do you educate the public? Or do you? Is it just, you know, come in and just get to know cats? Or do you have any ways that you educate them? I know you do special events, but but there's so much to be educated as far as for the general public, even the general cat-loving public that's not aware of rescue and just the needs of cats.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful adoption team. We, of course, work with our partner, Kitten Rescue of Los Angeles. So the screening process for adoption is done through Kitten Rescue volunteers, but they work directly with us. And so there is a virtual home visit that we do. We do a lot of matchmaking before we even get to that point to make sure that we're all on the same page of, if you work away from home, we're going to, you know, try and get you with a pair if they're young, so they've always got a playmate or some company. Or if you work at home, someone who's not going to drive you crazy and sit on your computer all day if that's not what you want. Or, you know, if we're looking at children or dogs or the cat's personalities or pairing an older cat with a younger cat, how to do that properly. But it's not just about the matchmaking. We want this, of course, to be an adoption that sticks. We don't want to send someone home with a cat that may not be the right personality for them or just too much. We want to make sure that also that the cat's going out with a good diet. We only feed wet food in our lounge. We don't do any dry food. We talk about nutrition a lot for long-term health. We talk about dental care. We are expanding some behavior and cat care into some workshops in the summer. I've done some TNR workshops to teach people how to do trap, neuter, release in their neighborhoods and how to care for community cats that live around us. So, you know, we're trying to look at the full cycle here of spaying and neutering. We're bringing in the cats who are already vetted, but we want to, you know, don't just be, here's your paperwork, everything's done, but look at what we have done. Here are the things that you're going to need to go get going forward. Here are the vaccines that are required where you live. Here's the vaccines that maybe you need to consider and discuss with your veterinarian before you agree to them. We want people to think about their cats and their long-term health as they would themselves. Like, to be informed and always be asking questions and not just accepting everything that they, you know, go in for a checkup and just give me the works and I don't know what's happening. But are you getting things that are always necessary? Or are you asking the right questions? Is this a good medication for your cat in the long term? So really educating people through nutrition, medical, and then of course, behavior. And I tell every one of our adopters, and I've always done this as a foster parent, I'm your tech support. I am your kitty tech support. And so is the rest of our team. If you have a question and send us a message, you know, text us, you know, we'll always get back to our adopters that even if it's not a problem, if your friends and your family are tired of hearing about your cat, we will never be tired of hearing about your cat. Send us pictures, send us like cute updates, because this is part of pulling in adopters and people around us as part of our community. It's like, it doesn't just end at adoption. We'll always be here for you. And if you're trying to integrate, or your cat doesn't like this food, or maybe you're worried about a hairball situation, like, we want to always at least be supportive, or like, you know, think about this, or offer some suggestions to some maybe food options or treat options, or if the kitty's driving you crazy, play with them more, to try and just troubleshoot with people so they don't rush into an emergency vet for something that could be unnecessary. And, you know, drain them right off the bat. Like, we want to be able to just kind of triage sometimes, you know, to help both the kitty and the parent, you know.
Right. Your return rate must be really small.
It is. It is. And it seems to be the kitties that we get back were, you know, maybe not that we take risks, but sometimes we want to give a kitty a chance. If the matchmaking side of it, it ends up being, you know, the kitties that make the decision for us. So thankfully, of course, there's always going to be some returns that are out of all of our powers. You know, we've had people who've had to leave the country and they couldn't take their cats with them. There's things that we just can't control, but we need to be the safety net for those cats that, you know, will always be there for them. And Kitten Rescue has that in their adoption policy as well. If we can't take them back as fosters, that Kitten Rescue can be their safety net too. And that's what really makes them such a great organization to adopt from.
That's great news. We're at the halfway point, so we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Hey, pet parents. Ever wondered how to safely bring the great outdoors inside and connect your indoor pets with nature? Meet Pet Greens, the pioneers in organic live cat grass, catnip, and treats powered with green nutrition. Discover the healing properties of wheatgrass, packed with nutrients and gentle green fiber to support digestive health. Pet Greens helps your pets truly thrive inside. Check out our full range of live cat grass, catnip, and treats at petgreens.com. That's petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Gwendolyn Mathers, who is the executive director of Tailtown Cats, and we're talking about the whole kitten adoption process, even though Tailtown Cats is actually a cat cafe. So we talked a lot about cat adoption, and you mentioned some of the facts to know, but what are some more that you can share with us? Are most of your facts frequently asked questions, in case somebody thinks I'm saying something else because it's radio facts? It sound like sex, you know, who knows with my accent. Are your frequently asked questions close to what other cat cafes are to expect? Because although we'd all love to come visit you in Pasadena, that's probably not going to ever be possible for some of us.
Sure. We definitely try to, for cat behavior, it comes down to the core of the cat needs and nutrition science and those sort of things, you know, playing with your cat, exercising your cat, enriching your cat's environment, feeding them good food, taking them to the vet. Those things are all going to be universal for all of us. So for sure, like our adoption packet, our FAQs, that's going to be applicable across the board. Our location is just very specific to how we do things. And we hope that this is the new generation of rescue. And this is the new generation of cat cafes, that we can take a longer view of, you know, where these cats are going, how they're cared for, and not make it into like a judgment, like, do you deserve to have this cat? But can we help you give the cats the best life for you and them? Because an unhappy cat is not going to make a happy adopter. And if we can kind of spread this style of just being really on it and helping people be really informed, then, you know, this is going to be the best life for the cats and the best situation for humans. And hopefully helping bring that into the rescue community, we can improve that space and really make an impact on the cats' lives and animal welfare.
I love that. Let's talk about this. So I think going to a cat cafe, especially where you can interact with the cats, I think that should be the norm, but that's just my personal opinion. But I think that's something, especially new potential cat pet parents should experience, because like in your cat cafe, do you have litter boxes around?
Yes, yes.
They're out in the open.
So our litter box is not super out in the open, but they're up against a wall and they're built into, we have a introduction, these little introduction suites, and the litter boxes are all underneath those, but they're exposed. Like you come in and you see them. We're not hiding that from people. We're not trying to squirrel this away and make it this pristine sort of shopping mall experience.
I think that's a good thing because every time I come home, it's like, oh, does it smell? Who just went? Because even if, and I have, I think I don't have a mansion of three cats. I think each one has two litter boxes. Then they have their catio where, so they have plenty of space. But one of the things is, you know, once you're in it, you get used to it. But for a new potential, we're talking new potential cat pet parent, that's something. You love cats, there is litter. That's just how it goes. And if that's a problem, forget about it. And there's things that, I guess my question is, my comment is, there's a lot of times where people will say, you know, I love cats. I really want a cat. They love other people's cats, but they need to experience cats. There's the litter smell. It's not too bad. There's great litters out there, but there's some smell. There's hair. That's what happens. Unless you have a sphinx, there's hair. And Sphinx comes with their own, you know, issues.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sphinx cats, by the way. So I think it's a great way for people, especially if you're, you know, thinking, I love cats, I want a cat, I've always seen my friends, whatever. I think that's a great way for the people to kind of get initiated into the cat world. Do you have a lot of that?
Yeah, that it is really good because, as you said, it shows people that there's a whole process, there's a whole package that comes along with living with a pretty wild animal in your home. You can't sterilize the process as much as you may try. I love the idea of like the convenience of litter robots, but I try to explain to people and like, you know, you talk about the litter smell and stuff, but like food, the food doesn't smell great either.
No, and, no, it stinks.
And I don't eat meat, but I feed a raw diet to my cats. But
they must eat meat. We've had shows about people thinking they want to make their cats vegan. It's actually toxic to cats, but that's a whole other show.
These are obligate carnivores. I'm not going to argue with that.
And they're kind of like little, yeah, like you said, little wild beasts. They're not as domesticated as dogs. I had to learn how to speak cat because my first one, Dennis, is part Maine Coon. And they're kind of, quote, I've heard this over time. I know they're not, cats are not little dogs, but Maine Coons are like the dog of cats. So that was a good initiation or a bad initiation to the cat world because I thought all cats should be like him. But no, he's different than all cats because most cats are like Molly. She'll let you tap. And then when she's had enough, swipe, leave me alone. And that's how cats are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like for someone coming in, obviously a space that has 40 animals in it is going to be different than having one or two in your own home. But we are playing around with some companies that have donated some air purifiers that are really effective that we can show people, like you were saying, different types of litter that may suit your home lifestyle better. That, you know, if you have asthma or allergies, you know, you can think about things like that. Feeding a better diet is going to improve asthma and allergies as well that people don't think about. But I like, even when we get down to the convenience level is I don't like taking people out of the equation of scooping your own litter box, because that's one of the first things, signs of poor health that we see. And if you have more than one cat, I know that all these smart litter boxes tell you when your cat's going, but are you going to be able to know if there's blood in the urine, or are you going to know if your cat has diarrhea if it recorded it as urine? So we get into kind of the nitty gritty, like if you're not really ready for this, then there's some things that you need to think about, but we're always willing to work with people in their spaces. And that's what's really great about the virtual tours of people's homes is we look around the space and we're not looking about whether you've done your dishes or put away your laundry. We're looking about, where do you think you want to put your litter box? What kind of litter box is it? Are you going to be happy with that in a year? Or is it going to drive you crazy? Is the cat going to want to go there? Because it needs to be in an open, convenient space for them. They do like privacy, but if you're sticking it in an upstairs bathroom and they're going to have to travel, you know, so many feet away to use it, especially if it's a new cat, they might forget where it is and they're going to go to a scent soaking spot, which is like our beds or our couches where it soaks in human smells. And they're like, oh, that's where my smell must go too. So we help people think about the process of introduction and the process of integrating into your home that is healthy for the cat. You know, we have to compromise because, again, we're bringing these little wild creatures into our homes and we can't turn them into little humans.
Right. So, they're not little humans. They're different than dogs. Dogs are way more domesticated. Mm-hmm. But it's good, though. You know, it's like they're entering, you know, this is cat world and this is what you can expect. And I love all of the backstory that you do as far as checking on things and educating people, and giving them, you know, this is real world. Where can people go to find a cat cafe in their area? Is there one location? So definitely if you're anywhere in Southern California, take a trip to Pasadena to go to Tailtown Cats. And Gwendolyn, you'll let us know where people can find out more about you. But where first can people go to just find out about cat cafes besides just a standard Google search or whatever browser you're using?
I would look at whatever, like either Yelp or some Google reviews, or I would look at TripAdvisor, because you can then look at pictures, you can find their website, their contact information, and see if it's the type of experience that you want. There's some other places that are popping up that are doing really cool things, like Whiskers and Wine down in San Diego. It's like a cat bar, wine bar. Cat Cafe, Cat Cade in Chicago is doing amazing things. So if you do a little searching like Instagram, look at, you know, locations around you that it works for you, whichever format is good for your level of tech savviness.
I didn't even know there was such a thing, a cat wine bar.
Yeah, it's pretty new. It's a really cool space.
Okay, maybe I can go to San Diego. And then where can people find out more about Tailtown Cats?
You can visit us at tailtowncats.com. You can follow us on social media. We're Tailtown Cats is our handle on Instagram. And you can see more about our events. If you're not even thinking of adopting, you just want to come and hang out with cats. That's why we've created this really fun event calendar. We wanted to break out of just this sort of cat yoga framework and do things that we all wanted to do. One of our guests phrased it perfectly. She said, I can do cat yoga at home. I have a cat. She gets on me. That's my cat yoga. I don't need to pay and go do that. So we're thinking, like, what are some cool kind of quirky things that we would like actually, you know, that would bring us out? And that's what we want to stay passionate about is, and not just make it all sort of work and education. Like, we want to have fun too. And if people are in the space having fun, then that's really wonderful for the cats. It's, you know, so we try and do things that are not disruptive to their environment, but they can disrupt the humans. So we have a lot of game events. So the cats are super distracting. So it brings up the level of competition between people.
So like, what, like cat bingo or something?
So we have our own branded cat bingo. We have trivia nights, team trivia nights with different rotating themes, sci-fi, movies, fantasy. We had Barbie trivia. That was really fun. We have a BYOB meow and paint session. Every month is a different themed cat painting, and it's a step-by-step process. All the art supplies are provided. You don't need to have any artistic ability. You just need to love cats.
Oh, I wish I still lived in LA and just say, yeah, I'll be in Pasadena tomorrow. Oh my gosh. Gwendolyn, what is one of your key tips for those that are, you know, considering adopting?
I always advise potential adopters, once they're ready and they feel like they have their space and kind of a plan or a timeline to adopt, is when you go into a shelter environment or when you go into a cat cafe or you start shopping around for different rescue organizations, is engage with the foster parents and engage with the rescues, and don't just always try to land on the first cat that jumps out onto you on a website or the first place, you know, when you visit, because we have a lot of cats. So when people come in, they say, oh, that cat chose me. And we all kind of chuckle because that cat also chose 12 other people this morning right before you. That cat chooses everybody. Talk to the fosters and talk to the adoption coordinators. Ask about the cats that really need a home that are getting overlooked but have beautiful personalities. Maybe look at a cat that is slightly older. Senior cats have a hard time finding homes, and they're the most loving cats. Look for the black kitties, look for the bonded pairs that are already paired up that have been waiting for a long time. So think about not just what you might have as a picture in your head, but what they think might fit your lifestyle, because there's some kitties out there that have been waiting a really long time and you might just save a life.
Thank you so much for coming on Catitude. I so appreciate it, with great information.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise. I hope you all enjoyed this show. I had a great time talking to Gwendolyn. If you're lucky enough to live in, I'd say anywhere in California, make it to Pasadena. Check out Tailtown Cats. I want to plan a trip out there. It's been a while since I've been to California. I lived in Southern California, but it was a while ago. And oh, I'm envious of you guys that get to go to Tailtown Cats. But if not, check out a cat cafe in your area. Or if you're entrepreneurial, hey, start one. I want to thank my guest, Gwendolyn Mathers, for coming on Catitude. Thanks so much to everyone that listens to Catitude. I greatly appreciate it. Thanks, of course, to my cat crew. They're always teaching me new things about cats. So thank you, Dennis, Molly, and Charlotte. And of course, this show would not be the same without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. So remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.